And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. And so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
So we've had a very good start to the league, Damien. The first match of the weekend was Limerick and Tipperary, and that was, the cliche, Damien, is a game of two halves, and it usually includes a gale force wind. This didn't have any wind, and it was a game of two halves, and it's very hard to explain how this happened.
Yeah, it was. I was actually at the game myself, so I was down in Thurles, and it was definitely a game of two halves. It was unbelievable, to be honest, because Tip looked unbelievably impressive in the first half, and Limerick kind of looked completely out of race, so they did, you know, and then the second half was the complete opposite, so it was. But I just watching it, I suppose the best way I could describe it to viewers was, it was like Tipperary did an unbelievable hard training session on the Friday night, and they were grand for the first half, and the second half they were completely out of legs. They had nothing in the tank, so they had. But it was a good game, you know. It was enjoyable. There was lots of good scores, so there was. But yeah, definitely a game of two halves. It was weird, actually.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. So, like, John Kiley said after the game, I don't know why, but we weren't at the races in the first half. And then he says, there was no paint being peeled off the walls. It was very simple, very straightforward. Paul Kinnerk obviously speaks with the players and talks about the aspects of the game that are not maybe executing that well. And after that, we're just asking him for an honest effort in the second half. Like, managers really scratch their heads with stuff like this because, you know, can you put it down to attitude? You're going to play the All-Ireland champions in their home ground. It can't be attitude.
No, it's not. It's just sometimes, Colm, it's just down to what happens on the day. But look, it's their first day out, even though you say to yourself, why would they have been so sluggish? Because they had the whole Munster League, you know, and they won the Munster League. So I don't know. It's sometimes it's just down to lads getting up and running again so well. But then the other obstacle is just how Tip came out of the block so well, and then they completely fell asunder in the second half. But
yeah.
I don't know. It'll just be probably getting up and running again. It was a valuable points in the bag there now for Limerick, so well. But I don't know. I'd say there's no explanation for it, but I'd say there would have been a few harsh words said at half time, because I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd say lads were told up. Like, you know.
I can't imagine John Kiley hopping off them, or maybe, you don't know, he's just so gently spoken in interviews.
John Kiley, he comes across to me as, yeah, I know what you mean, gently spoken, but once again, I think he's a principal, so I do. I say he's very stern. I say he's very stern in what he has to say, and I say if he has to get a point across, you know, maybe without roaring and shouting, I say he get his point across very, very clear. And I feel this year that the Limerick team this year will be a lot more focused. I feel they left an All-Ireland behind them last year, and they let slip. I think they really felt they could have won another All-Ireland last year. And I think the Limerick setup is going to be a very, very focused one this year and completely driven. And John Kiley is really going to be behind that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I suppose when he gets ticked, the principle will come out in him. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like meeting the parents for the first night to see when your young lads come to the school and you're as nice as pie, and next thing you get them in. But when they're in, I say he puts his foot down. I say he runs a very, very tight ship, and I say he runs a very, very disciplined outlet as well, you know. And I say there's no crap of him, being honest. I say it's black and white with him. Straight up.
Yeah, no, I definitely think. And Liam Sheedy then obviously said after the game, he says, obviously we did tire. We're not where we need to be in terms of physical preparation. And you mentioned that they looked like a team that did a hard training session. They have to get those hard training sessions into their legs because they came back from holidays on January the 6th. So, like, I mean, I'd say there's no doubt they're trying to combine preparing for the league with some very physical training sessions.
Yeah, and there will be, you know, the call of putting it in the bank. You know,
yeah.
having the reserve there, and like they're after enjoying themselves, and only right, they're deservingly All Ireland champions. You know, and they had a super year last year, and they were on at holidays, and lads would have enjoyed themselves over the Christmas as well. You know, and only right, as I said, they're only you know, they're not every day you win in All Ireland, but like there's going to be hard transitions put in there among the league campaign. But he rested a few players as well yesterday, and he gave lads a run as well. You know, you don't forget that as well. That like, he gave lads an opportunity, but I reckon there was a tough training session during the week, because it's not possible for the lads just to completely go out of the game like it is in the second half. It was just complete tiredness. That's what I put it down to.
Yeah, because Limerick were away on holidays too. I don't think as late as Tip, but still, like, they were on holidays. Was it just before the Christmas period we kind of saw some of that? Maybe it was in start of December, actually, Limerick went away on holidays. I'm just trying to think when we saw that video.
Yeah, they went away, but I think as I said, since maybe that video... Column, which I'm not, I'm all against these videos and posting stuff up on social media. I hate all that stuff, being honest, you know. But I'd say that John Kiley and the management team have battened down the hatches there big time.
Yeah.
Since all that happened, and that's the best way for me to describe it. I'd say myself that the lads aren't cooperating, or lads aren't prepared to be disciplined. They've been shown the door. So I think Limerick are a little bit ahead of Tipperary in preparation, but it doesn't explain their first half performance. Maybe it was complete rustiness or whatever, which doesn't explain it either with the Munster League and their winners of the Munster League, but the second half they completely pushed on.
They definitely did. Is there no better time for Tipperary to go on a holiday than coming back on the 6th of January and playing catch-up right throughout the league? What you've played in enough All-Irelands to have been away on holidays. Did you go... Is there no time early December that you could go and not have it impeding on the following season?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. It only makes sense that if you are, because basically, I think what kind of happens with the winners is that the month of December is kind of the month that you go get your All-Ireland medals and that type of stuff, Colin. But yeah, it would only make sense that if you did go in December, it wouldn't impede on your preparations. But the truth of it is, Colin, Liam Sheedy isn't really that awfully interested in the league.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it, plain in a nutshell. He's not. He's completely zoned in on the championship. He's not going to be remembered for winning the Allianz League or anything like that. He's trying to find another couple of players. He's going to rest some of the lads, like the Shamey Cannon will get rested a little bit. Noel McGrath, a couple of these lads. He's what we call his star players, and he'll try to find two or three other players. And that's what he's going to use the whole league campaign for. And he's not really interested. So the lads went and enjoyed themselves, but he'll look at them down as well, and they'll gain a few points along the way and they'll be safe and all that sort of stuff. But it's the championship he's interested in.
Yeah, it just goes to show in the league though, because Brian Lohan was interviewed after they hammered Carlow down in Ennis, and he said, since I got involved and we started training 9 or 10 weeks ago, the work rate and attitude of the players has been exceptional. So you have clear back 9 or 10 weeks training, and you have Tipperary only back a couple of weeks from holidays, and Limerick only a little bit longer than that. And for the National League, like, you just don't know what you're getting with these teams. The results don't follow necessarily a pattern.
Yeah, well, see, Brian Lohan's only after getting the job, right?
Yeah.
So he is, and they are back a couple of weeks, so they are, because I know that for a fact, because I'd be very friendly with Sean Tracy, and he's from Portumna, so he's now the new trainer of the Clare Senior Hurlers,
right?
And the Clare, I will say this, the Clare Senior Hurlers will be a better prepared team this year than they have been for the last 3 years. And there'll be no crap taken there either, so they won't, because Sean is a top class trainer.
Right.
And Brian Lohan, just from hearing this stuff down in around Innes, where I'm based, that Brian Lohan is meant to be a fantastic organiser. So he's meticulous in all that type of stuff. So yeah, Clare maybe a little bit ahead in preparation. But the truth of it is, Colin, they need it to be.
Yeah,
you know, they needed to be. They had a very, very poor season last year. They were out very, very early, so it was important maybe to get them lads back on the horse, you know. But I will say this, the lads, I'm friendly with Tony Kelly, you know, they're very, very happy with the setup in regard. They're doing an awful lot more hurling this year.
Okay.
So they are in their early training sessions. But yeah, but then you have to remember Tipperary went all the way to the All-Ireland final. So, like, it'll only take them a couple of weeks to get back up to where they were last year, Colin, with lads getting, you know, the proper training, the proper diet back in, all the attitude right, and they'll be back up and running within a couple of weeks. We're clear of blood and new players as well, and trying to find players as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and Sean, does he just do the physical training, or would he be involved a bit like Kinnerk in game plans and, you know, the more of the hurling aspect?
Oh, no, Sean is doing all of the hurling, so he is.
Right.
They have another guy there from Galway called Carr. So they have, and he's doing what we call the S&C training,
right.
So he's, and they're very happy with him. they're very happy with him as well. But Sean would do all what we call the hurling. Like, Sean trained us. Like, it was Sean and Johnny Kelly would say, David Bean would say, over Portumna for the last couple of years. You know, when we were winning All-Ireland, yeah. Sean trained us to our very first one. Sean is a good trainer now. He'd be very, very stern. So he was a part of the Jurlock Nan setup when he came to Galway. So he did, but he wasn't the trainer. Louis McQueen was the trainer. Sean was the selector. But yeah, Sean will be in the full run of, we'll say, team selection without doubt. And he knows he's hurling. He's around a long time. But Clare will be a better setup this year. Okay. I'm not saying they're going to win stuff, but they will definitely be a lot better than they were last year. And they'll be a lot more physical and they'll be a lot more motivated.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Watch this space. We'll do a bit more on Clare. They had a routine win, I suppose, against Carlos, so there's not too much to see.
Yeah, exactly. Bread and butter stuff.
Bread and butter stuff, I suppose, yeah. Kilkenny then, Jesus, they gave Dublin taught them a bit of a lesson, and this is even after Richie Leahy got a red card. What's your take on that red card? Because go on.
I didn't like the red card. The frontal challenge column needs to be sorted out, right? If it's a frontal challenge with, you know, massive impact and hurted the lad, yeah, well, that's a different challenge to the one that Richie Leahy gave, right? There was no real hurt in the tackle, but like, he got the straight red. My whole argument is, I've said this to you a couple of times over the season, a couple of seasons that I've been on your podcast, right? Someone else will do it next week and they'll get a yellow. You know, and like, you asked me only last week about Brendan Maher's challenge in the Club All Ireland, and yeah. I also said it wasn't a red, but other lads were saying that it was a bit high. Like, to me, it's not. It has to be an unbelievable mean challenge for me to get a red card.
They're obviously clamping down a lot on these head high challenges. We saw it started last year. I think was it Tony Kelly got red carded against Tip at the first round of the league, yeah. And then it carried through. And obviously Richie Hogan's in the All Ireland final for the head high tackle, and now Richie Leahy. Are players just going to have to go, here, listen, you're just going to have to calm down? If that's what referees are doing, the red cards now, whether they used to be red cards or not, is not the point.
Yeah, but the whole thing as well, Colm, is there was a high challenge put on Aylward, you know, a couple of minutes later, and there was no red card, you know. So, like, I'm the whole thing about consistency. But, yeah, what the trainers will be saying is that the referees have been told that they have to clamp down on this sort of stuff with the high challenge. So that what the coaches will be telling the lads is they have to get their tackling, get their hands, and get the tackling into the body, not up high. If you do a high challenge, or leave it, what we call neck high, you're leaving yourself open to getting sent off. And that is lads would say you tackle with the hands into the body. Once you hit a lad into the body, even if it's a fierce mean belt, once you're hitting him into the body, it's all, and the most you'll get is yellow. But if you go in high with a half middling challenge, you're leaving yourself open for a red card. It happened to your man Hansbury last year with Galway. He got a red card, so he did it against Kilkenny, and was a huge loss to them then against Dublin in the last round of the Leinster. But also, Colin, just you're on about training. The Dublin senior hurlers have been back a long, long time.
Yeah,
a long time. They've done the world of work now. So they have, and like they looked far from impressive yesterday. But they're back a long time now training.
Dublin are soft outside Parnell Park, and I never draw conclusions from the league, but this is just more evidence on top of the evidence last year. They're able to beat Galway, they go down badly in the second half against Kilkenny, they lose to Laois in Amore Park. There seems to be something about Dublin where they can hurl well in Parnell Park and then go away from home and they don't seem to be the same force at all.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Even when Anthony Daly had them 1 year, they went down to Moore Park down in Laois, and they got absolutely hammered by Kilkenny, so did 1 year. So I would agree more. And the reason for this, Colm, and I said this before, is that Parnell Park's a way tighter pitch. It's a way, way tighter pitch, and there's a lot more rooks and mauls, and it's a lot harder to get away from a player, and the crowd is up beside you, and they're only inches from the touchline and all that. So, you know, they love playing in Parnell Park compared to playing in, for example, the likes of Nolan Park or Port Laois or any of these places, or even Keir Stadium. So I was disappointed. I have to say, I was extremely disappointed in Dublin yesterday. You have to remember, they were playing against a 14-man Kilkenny team for a long, long time.
A long time. And a Kilkenny team nowhere near full strength. And, like, I mean, Dublin, I think, had 10 of last year's championship team. They had a much stronger team on paper than Kilkenny had. And then Matty Kenny is quoted after the game, "We introduced a few new players today, and I suppose last year we worked hard early on in the league And as the championship went on, we seemed to lose our form a little bit. Having said that, we would like to have we would like the better performance today. I'm starting to think Matty Kenny likes a few excuses when they lose. I don't think he takes responsibility for it, because he said in the championship last year we seemed to lose our form. Well, like, their best performance in the championship was their second last match against Galway at home, and then they go out and lose to Laois after that. So, like, I mean, I don't accept that they lost their form as the championship went on. I think he's making excuses.
Yeah, well, as I said, they're back a long time. I know this, right? They're back a long time doing gym work and doing all that type of stuff. You know, all this S&C training. Like this. But at the end of the day, you can do all the S&C training you want, Colm, right? And I know your body has to be in a good physical state for this league and championship hurling. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to do what we call the top class skills in inter-county level. And sometimes Dublin don't have it as good as other teams. But yeah, this thing is making out. Sure, they had a pretty good championship last year.
Yeah,
and they qualified.
Yeah,
then they got beaten. So that doesn't make sense.
No,
that whole, like, they blew it against Laois. Let's be honest, they would have favoured themselves against Tipperary if they got a chance at them. So, but they were poor. They were really, really poor. Even their full back line, even the two soft goals that they let in, I was disappointed in Dublin. I sat down and watched the game. I was impressed with Kilkenny. I'm always impressed with Kilkenny's attitude.
That's great,
there,
yeah.
You know, and the way they go about things. And I can only imagine Cody just telling the boys, like, even when they win a free, I love that. When they win the free or whatever, they just drop the ball and just run away. You know, or whatever. But Kilkenny are finding a few players again, so they are, and they have the Ballyhale boys to come back, and they have the Porrig Walsh to come back, and
yeah,
they have a couple of lads to come back there. You know, it's Kilkenny are in a good place.
They are. And Brian Cody was talking about the reaction to the sending off, and he said the reaction to it was very, very positive. And that's actually in contrast to the All Ireland final last year, where the sending off had a big bearing on the game the other way. So maybe they were kind of talking at half time going, let's not, you know, let this affect us, and, you know, maybe that upped the ante a little bit on the reaction. But he said it was going to demand a lot of energy and genuineness from the players to combat it, and also good use of the ball. And there's the word you would use to describe Kilkenny: genuineness. Like, you know, aren't they, you just know what you know what you're going to get from Kilkenny every single time they play a match.
If you're not prepared on a Brian Cody team, if you're not prepared to give it everything for as long as you're out in that pitch with work rate and honesty and genuineness, I don't think you will feature on the team until you start doing it.
Yeah.
And that's Brian Cody's, I'd say, motto for his whole management career. He just wants to see honesty. And DJ Carey's in there now this year, you know, and DJ is a nice fella, you know, and he'll probably bring his little bit as well to the setup. I've seen him before the match going around speaking to the players, you know, saying a few words to him. So, like, DJ wanted to bring his little bit as well, because he was with the under 20 set up as well last year. So, as I said, the Kilkenny players, they're just so honest. That's the only way to describe it, you know. And Cody will go out to try and win the league like he does every year. He always says it's the second biggest competition in the calendar year is the league. So, once again, a great win over Dublin, but I thought Dublin were disappointing.
No, they definitely were. They were very disappointing. So Galway got off to a winning start. It was an easy enough win at home. Joe Canning scored more than Westmeath did. He got 12 points. Westmeath only got 10 in the end. So, like, there was nothing really too much to say about this, Damien, other than what the story with Galway is, because they won minors in 17, 18 and 19. Are we seeing any of these? I know Dermot Kilcommons played yesterday, but where are these? Like, it seems to be a team that needs new faces, and I'm wondering, with all the, with those 3 years of minors coming through, surely we have a few stars coming in to freshen that team up.
Yeah, well, as you know, we have a new manager this year in Limerick. So we have Shane O'Neill is the new manager, so he's a Limerick man. So he's, interesting enough, maybe people might know this, right? I didn't know it myself until the Christmas period, that there was only actually two people interviewed for the job,
right,
for the Galway job, which took so long, and there were two Limerick people. So it was, right, which was Shane O'Neill and Kieran Carey. So the rumour was that Louis McQueen was interviewed for the job, but he wasn't interviewed for the job. So it was a two-horse race for the management, and Shane O'Neill got the job. What is Shane O'Neill like? Not many know in Galway what he's like, no more than myself, but the rumour coming back is that he's a very good organiser, and he's actually a very good manager, and he's a very, very nice fella, right? So the players like him as well. Over the last couple of weeks, there was something like 50 players in there that it was training, doing all the S&C training, the running and whatever, and is now averaging with back, so it has to roughly 30. They dropped about 15 to 20 players off the panel. So he has tried and looked at some of these, what we call All-Ireland minor winning teams. So it'll be interesting to see who he finds. It'll be interesting what he's looking for in the league as well. But he does need to find a few players, Colin, because there is a couple of them players, and I have no problem saying it, there's a couple of players on the panel in Galway that are happy being subs. And I cannot understand that. That right. is the truth. Happy being a sub is no good to me. And there's some of the players that have been subs on that panel for the last 5, 6, 7 years. And they're just happy being subs. So that to me is useless to any setup.
Yeah.
So he needs to find players. That's why I say he's going to use the whole league campaign. He needs to find roughly 5 players. The likes that he's looking at goalie there, Aina Murphy. He's a nice goalkeeper now. He's good hands, so he's a good stick hurler, so he's a nice guy. I just seen there yesterday to try Garrod McInerney full back, which is obviously meaning that, you know, maybe he's looking maybe at Garrod maybe to go to, for example, to full back, and maybe bring Dahi Burke to see what he'd like be like out centre back. He's looking at things.
Yeah.
And you know, he's right against the likes of Westmeath. No disrespect to Westmeath, but Galway were always going to win that game. They brought in the likes of Ty Cairn. Now, he was there in my time, so he was. He's a very, very good striker of a ball. He's from Lee Mellow's hurling club. He'd be their marquee forward, so he was. Got 6 points from play yesterday. He'd be able to score now. He'd be able to score, so he was. But he's been there. He's been around the block a while. So
well, I think
that's just for Galway.
Because I was obsessed with all these minors coming through, and then I saw him, Haran, score 6 from play. And I ask you, is this a young lad coming through the ranks? And you said, no, he's been there since you were there. So there's nothing new. Maybe he's a forward playing in midfield, so that could be a bit of a weapon, maybe, is it?
Yeah. He's a good hurler. He's well able to hurl, so he is. But he's been around the block for a while. He hurt his leg there one stage, and it put him back a little bit. But as I said, he's with Lee Mellows, and I suppose Lee Mellows are a club that are going very well at the moment. So they competed in the last 3 county finals in Galway. So he's probably getting more what we call airtime to show his skills. But he's a good hurler, whether he can push on to make the team. But he's definitely a very good attacking option. So he's and another good free taker as well. But he's a good striker of the ball, very good striker off his right.
Okay, and what about in Murphy and goals? Because we know Callanan is retired, and Skehill doesn't really have doesn't have an array from his puckouts, does he? He's a big bomb, and that's about it. So maybe does Murphy have more variety to his puckouts?
He comes from a club called Tommy Larkin, which would be a neighbouring club to us in Portumna, right? I'm nearly certain he's a twin. He's a brother as well that plays up in the forward. Another good hurler. But I keep an eye on that goalie. He's a good goalkeeper now. I see him. We played Tommy Larkins last year in club championship. He's a nice hurler now, and he has all the hands. You know, when I mean by hands, you know, he's all the touches. And yeah, I'd say this guy, if he gets the run, he could push for a starting spot this year. That guy, he's a good goalkeeper now.
Okay, all right, fair enough. What about Angus Clark sending off? Are you going to tell me that wasn't a second jello?
Wait.
The Angus Clark, he pulled down on Joe Canning from behind. It was a genuine effort at batting the ball, and he apologised straight away. And Joe told the referee there's nothing in it, and the referee continued on to give him the second yellow.
Yeah, but all these referees are being monitored and they're being rated. So there was no malice to it, absolutely none.
No, there wasn't.
Just Joe acknowledged, you know, and he got the second yellow. So look at. He got sent off, but you don't like to see it, but there was no malice towards it. But once again, he was sent off because the refs are all being watched and being scrutinised, and to see what level you're going to be refereeing in championship. That's where it's all coming to.
Yeah. The Westmeath manager Shane O'Brien said, "We just thought it was an absolutely outrageous decision." Donal Logue said last night, look, it was a second yellow. It's hard to argue it wasn't a second yellow. It's just when it happened, he immediately apologised. He did not mean to do that, and Joe didn't mind it. I'm not a hurling person, so I can imagine hurling people would have been, would you ever let that game go on there, and don't be sending the chap off.
You're right. That was exactly it, Colin. exactly. Would you ever let him off? Or, you know, send him off, nicking.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it was.
Yeah, maybe it is the assessors. He's worried about getting in trouble for not doing it right. He was a strong referee, I have to say, whether we agree with the decision or not. When Joe Canning's talking to you in your ear and saying, leave him off there, that was no big deal. And the Westmead lads were pleading. You know, he definitely wasn't swayed by the players' opinions anyways. He was sticking to his...
They're being rated, Colm, the refs. They're being rated to see what will they be refereeing in the summer. This is my opinion. So whether you're going to be refereeing championship matches, Christy Ring, Joe McDonough, you know, so this is how they're being rated to see, are they up to the level?
Yeah.
So that's my opinion. I don't know that, but that's just where I often come up with my conclusions.
There's definitely a move away from the traditional hurling person, let the game flow, and unless someone's seriously hurt, you wouldn't send anyone off. There's a move away from that, Damien, isn't there? Whether hurling people are like that or not, from the referees, there's a movement away from the Brian Gavin kind of way of reffing a game, where you go out and let them hurl unless there's a really dirty stroke where everybody knows it's dirty, you wouldn't be getting the line.
Yeah, you're right. And it's all down to health and safety, you know, and protect the players and all that. And then it's gas, Colm. If you had a training match amongst yourselves, you know, 15 on 15, you know, with what we call the A team versus the B team, or the probables versus the possibles, right? It's full hell for leather.
It's all out war.
There's all out war. Next thing you go and you play a league match, you play a championship match, and next thing you're being pulled for every little niggle, or if you tip some lad or whatever. But so you're often training one way, and when you go out to play the match, it's completely been refed a different way. But yeah, it's going a lot of it. It's just protect the player and health and safety and all that sort of stuff, compared to, as you said, the Brian Gavin way of, unless the lad got basically split open or knocked down and was out for the cold, you'd win a free. But some people like that refereeing. But everything, again, within moderation. That's always my opinion on it, you know.
Yeah, common sense on it. Don Logue made a good point last night, and I'm always curious about things that I don't really know about hurling, and he was making a point last night that the spare hand, now I'd know nothing about the spare hand in hurling because I didn't play it, and you're not allowed tackle with it, and there's a lot of players now using it to slow their markers down, to stop a counter attack. Like, it's almost bringing football tackling into hurling, and that's not permitted.
That's exactly what it is. It's about... So what happens is, Colm, to explain it again, is, and it's the exact same purpose as the football. If you're running alongside your man and you have with the hurlers in your right hand, right, your left hand is pulling your man back to stop his momentum flow. Like this. And like, I've even seen it. I watched the Kerry Dublin football Saturday night, and it must be a rule within the Dublin and the Kerry footballers that when you go face your man, even when the ball goes up the other end of the field, you must hit him to push him back. Push him back with, say, half a step.
Or push him
back,
yeah.
Momentum has gone backwards. Exactly. So it's the same thing. It's all, as I said to you, it's all with the tackles. When you're allowed to tackle with your hand into the body, you won't get sent off with a tackle, like, which is the same thing as football, tackle into the body, where if you use the hurl. But they're all the same purposes, Colm. Even if you're tackling the man, they say in rule number one, when you stand him up, the rule number one is use the hand that you don't have to hurl in, and they say try and hit him into the chest, right? Where when you do that, you're moving him backwards, moving him away from his momentum to go forward.
Yeah.
Which means he has to go back. They're all the top class inter-county trainers are all doing that. It's about getting them to get their center of gravity to go backwards where they don't have momentum going forward.
And
That's what it means. And
growing up underage then, would you be told that you're not allowed when you're learning the skills of the game and not at senior inter-county level where you're trying to find, you know, an edge and how you're going to use this spare hand, are you told that you're not allowed to use that spare hand to tackle at all, that you have to use your hurl? Is that how you're coached as a young player?
Exactly, using the hand and all, that's only after coming in the last couple of years.
Right.
So when I was growing up, it was all, you're all just doing drills, Colm. And it's the exact same when you're training a setup. It's all the tackling kind of only comes in, I suppose, maybe from minor level up. I don't think there's many teams showing how to tackle, but it's only after coming in the last couple of years. Everything has changed. It's actually kind of something to do with basketball and American football. that they learned this sort of stuff. But no, definitely, I was never shown how to tackle when I was underage, or have I ever done it. You know, but once again, you just try to tell them to keep the hurl down and don't give away frees. That's kind of the way you do it, you know.
Yeah, Donald showed a few examples, like it's definitely in the game. And then Jackie made the point where if you blow this all the time, you'll get no flow, and hurling people are obsessed with letting the game flow. So it's hard to know how to eradicate this out of the game without you'd need a season of blowing this every time to take it out of the game.
But once again, it's blown by someone, it's not blown by others, Colin.
Right.
So that's the whole argument. But the thing is, if it's this thing of taking out the game, it's not going to be taken out of the game. They're all the top class coaches are on about this tackling. And for example,
it's cynical, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So what happens is, Colin, your midfielder gets the ball and he drives it into the full forward position. So the ball is after going in. So with the wing forward and the centre forward is after turning, and he's running into the full forward line to give support play, or maybe hoping to go onto a break.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously the defender can't catch him or hold him like this. So when he turns with him, he's running in with him, and he's what we call his open hand, which is the hand that doesn't have the hurl. He's pulling him back. Catching his hand and pulling him back.
Yeah.
You know, to stop the momentum. And that's going on. That's going on for years. It's not just because Don Logue is after showing it. He might be highlighting it, but that's been going on for years.
Yeah, maybe. Unless maybe it's starting to come a little bit more, because there is nothing more frustrating when you have a break on like that and you're away and then there's somebody pawing at you. And I never really realised that your spare hand in hurling is just really for catching, right? It's not meant to be used for tackling, because you can't tackle the man. So yeah, I just thought it was interesting that I hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
I hadn't really noticed that. Because when you're used to watching Gaelic football, you just wouldn't think there's anything big in that at all. You just think, he's using his hands.
And it's very noticeable as well, Colin. Keep an eye on the rooks. When the ball is in a ruck among, we'll just say, five or six or seven players, keep an eye on the rooks. Some lad is down trying to ride the ball. Watch the way lads go into the rooks, especially at inter-county level. They're all going in with their legs to try to get in over the ball for centre of gravity, and they're also going in with their open hands. So when you're trying to ride the ball, picture you're bending your back trying to ride the ball, the lad is tackling, is slapping you with his open hand to stop you from riding it. That's
right.
Not a free.
He's slapping the arm that's holding the hurl to not allow you to rise it.
No, he's slapping the other hand to catch the ball.
Okay.
So when you ride the ball, if you hold the hurl on your right hand and you're down riding the ball, so next thing you ride and it comes up into the air and you're going to snap it with your left hand.
Right.
All the good defenders or whatever, they're tackling, their open hand is slapping your left hand so that you won't be able to catch it, and next thing the ball is back down on the ground again.
Right.
And next thing that's where the rook and the melee starts. Keep an eye on that. And when the rooks occur, watch the amount of lads, the leads go into the rooks with their leg. The lead going straight in with their leg into the middle of the rook. Just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, no, I've seen them doing that before, yeah. And what's that to do? To protect their hand, to protect the hand being slapped, is it?
No, it's just to get in over the ball, get your body into the middle of the ruck, to get in over the ball to try ride it. But and so instead of lads poking at you, one time you'd have lads poking at from the what we call the outside, where they wouldn't want to get a belt.
Yeah, that'd be you. You like to hang around the outside of rooks, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was afraid in my life.
Brian Carroll used to stay out of the rooks anyways. He's admitted that.
Yeah, but what's called? But some lads would be staying out of the rook looking for the handy ball, or they'd be poking at near like they had a snooker cue. You know, just watch the next rook, we'll say next weekend when it happens. The way that we slap each other on the hands of the open, it's just to stop the player from riding the ball.
Right, yeah. I'll keep my eye out for that.
It's a cute one.
Yeah, no, it definitely sounds cute. Yeah, I have to say I quite like that one. It's more subtle than the other one. The other one's a bit more cynical. I like the one in the ruck though. Come here, you kept this one quiet that you're gone into management. Boris O'Kane in Tipperary.
They're only over the road, Colm, and I do the sessions with them at the weekend. So I do on the Friday and the Sunday, and I'm enjoying it now. They're intermediate, so they are, you know. And when I say they're only over the road,
did they not win the intermediate in 2010? They got relegated again after that, did they?
Yeah, they got relegated again. So they're a young team, and the numbers have been good now. You know, in fairness, like I trained them there Sunday morning, so we did, and we 32 down training Friday evening, and we had 30 down training. So, and they're all young lads. And the one thing I'll say, Colin, the training I'm doing is all hurling. And I'm always saying that. They're going down to go hurling training.
Yeah.
You know, and everything to be with the ball. I remember a lad one time, he was training with us. You know, and next thing, we had about half an hour training done. Next thing, your man turns to me and he says, "Geez, your man must have got mixed up with training. Because I came down to go hurling training, not to do athletics." He says, we're doing nothing only running, he says, since we came down. You know, but I do feel sometimes, especially in club setups, Colin, just the more enjoyable you can make it for the club player regarding hitting as many balls as you can, it's a great help. Because, you know, the club player, he's to wait a long time for games during the year. But yeah, I'm giving Boris Kane a hand, and I'm enjoying it. I retired, Colin. I've an awful problem with a shoulder and an ankle, and my time is up. My turkey is cooked, so it's just to get out of the house and do stuff.
So you wanted to fill the time, yeah, exactly, and not completely stay out of hurling. That is a good one though, because
you can get lazy, Colin.
Yeah,
you can get extremely lazy, you know, and you can get into, as I call it, into a little rot.
Yeah,
you know, so. And I said, it's only the weekend. You know, I Boris Kane, they're nice lads over there and they're nice players. And, like, we could have went doing three sessions a week. But, like, there was no need because a lot of lads are in college. So I just do the Friday and the Sunday sessions. Like, being honest with you, I'm over and back within an hour and a half. And it suits everyone.
Would you do a bit of the... Would you take part in a few of the drills, or would you just be doing it, or would you...
No, I wouldn't take part in the drills. I'd always have my hurl. I would, and but I would just show them how I want the drill done,
right?
And they may do it, but there's some days I put out bollards and, you know, cones, and there's other days I don't. Sometimes I find there's lads out there with cones, and you'd look into a pitch, even at inter-county level, and I'd often say, like, it's kind of nearly completely showing off. Like, I have more cones out than they have, and we'll do this and we'll do that. You know, my own opinion, Colin, on the whole hurling thing is, right, it's trying to be over. Analyze, and some trainers are trying to complicate it too much. The simpler the drill and the more it's perfected and the better it's done, the better the drill.
Yeah,
you can have the most complicated drills, and if they keep breaking down, Colin, the drill is useless.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you with all the cones and stuff. So you can go online and learn these. Like, that says nothing about you at all. Any club official that is impressed by the amount of drills a trainer is able to do, forget about that. Sure, that's. I mean, I don't see too much. I wouldn't see too much into read too much into that.
It just keep it simple. I wouldn't do much reading, but I do always remember Justin McCarthy wrote a book. So it was called Hooked, you know. And I just always remember one quote he had in the book, and it was. And I used to love doing ball hurling, you know, or alleys in the alleys, right? And he said, you know, the alley to the hurler is the fairway to the golfer. It doesn't lie. And it's like this, Colin, if you're inside the alley or hitting the ball off a gable into the house, and you strike the ball off your left and it comes straight back into your hand, and then you strike the ball off your right and the ball comes back around your knees or down around your ankles, then you have a problem with your right hand side and you need to improve that.
Right.
And
okay.
It's very simple, Colin. If you're doing a train session and you throw 10 balls out in front of you on the left hand side, and you push 9 out of 10 over the bar, and then you go to the left-hand side and you do the exact same drill, and you hit 5 out of 10. But then you have an issue with that side column.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be complicated. You need to practice more on that side of your shooting than the other side. And keep it simple, Colin. It shouldn't be a complicated thing. And that's my own opinion, but... you could speak to a different trainer and he'll completely disagree with what I'm saying. But
yeah,
and even the hand.
Would you prescribe? Go on. Sorry.
The hand pass. I think the hand pass is the easiest skill in hurling. Right, it's one of the most simplest skills in hurling. Right, that is hardly ever practiced on a training ground. Like, you have the picture, get run onto a ball, riding it, soloing through, giving a hand pass to a man that's in better space and over the back. You know, and that is never practiced on the training pitch. Hardly practiced is the hand passing drill, to perfect the hand pass, and to perfect the hand pass column off both hands. So if you're soloing through the middle and your man is free on your right, you can give the hand pass across your body with your left hand. But if your man is free on your left hand side, you can cross your hurls and swap your hands and throw the hand pass. And that's all practice.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, they would do a lot of hand passing drills in Gaelic football, maybe too much, I suppose, at times people say. I'm interested about that ball, the ball alley though, because you obviously, you'd have one in Portumna. Would Boris O'Kane, would every club in Ireland, would every hurling club in Ireland have a
no.
They wouldn't. And like,
no,
I mean,
no,
would
no,
you
they
would you be
no,
telling, so do Boris O'Kane have one or they don't have one?
No, they don't have one. But what they have there is, they have what we call a stand. Just have a stand. And at the back of the stands are the wall,
right.
Obviously, because there's blocks on it with construction.
Yeah.
Right? So I would bring them over for a few minutes to just get them to hit the ball, because the more balls you can hit, Colin, the better. You know, my whole thing is that they go home saying they hit balls, the rose balls, the hand pass balls, as opposed to running around cones and going home saying, geez, I'm dreading the next training session. What's he going to have us do now? But the whole thing is, Colin, there is. Now, we don't have an alley in Portumna,
no.
Right? We have a wall. We have a wall in Portumna on an Astro, which is the same thing. But don't get it complicated, Colm. A wall ball or an alley is the gable into the house.
Yeah.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Do you destroy a good slitter hitting it off the wall, though, would you?
Sure, what the difference? Go down to club training and put a slitter in your pocket and drive and go home. Every inter-county hurler is when the training is over, don't get it wrong. I did it for years myself. When training will be over, you take off your helmet and you put on the clips and you throw one or two slitters inside the helmet and you walk off with the hurley or the helmet in your hand and you throw the two slitters into your bag. And when you go do your own practice, you know, but there's other slitters you can get. There's slitters that you can get for wall ball hurling that the more you hit the ball, column, it heats up.
Oh, right.
At the start, the ball is cold, but when you start hitting the ball off the wall, it gets warmer and warmer. And what it does is improves your striking, but it improves your speed, eye coordination, and your fitness. And also, you know, basically your leg work and your feet work has to improve as well.
I have to say this, the wall ball to me, if you ever want to be a serious hurler and you're not going out to a wall ball with a couple of targets on it and whacking it as many times as you can until you're hitting that target is coming back into your hand, you're not being serious about being a hurler. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely, Colm. Colm, when we, for some of the won four club All-Ireland, we were very, very lucky to win four All-Ireland. We had a great team, right? And like it was a golden era of players, right? Straight up, a golden era of players, mighty fellas, right? There was twice a week, Colm, at that stage, I used to be spending 1 hour, right, so 2 days a week over in Tina wall ball. Tina's only over the road 4.5 miles from us, and I used to go over. I was very friendly with a few of the lads in Tina. I used to go over, and I would bang balls off the wall for 1 hour. I would time it, and I would hit so many slitters that it would nearly cut your skin off the thumbs, of the inside of your thumbs. So it was. But yeah, if I tell you, like CJ Reid, Joe Cannon, Patty Corgan, Jamie Canlan, all these lads, right, they're all in the alley. They're all on the wall balls. They're getting sessions in. As I said to you, it's all grand bench pressing and squatting. But at the end of the day, sometimes it'll come to striking and you'll go to the wall ball. Like Tommy Dunn, I guarantee you Tommy Dunn is meeting lads in the Tipperary setup and often has done wall ball sessions and alley sessions with lads. It really improves your striking.
Right.
So there's the Clare Hurlers who have been doing it as well. It's something that has to be done. You know, and you see some players that are bad strikers of the ball. Like this. There's only one way to improve it, and that's to actually stay at it and stay striking and stay striking. I'll tell you the story, right? So, anyways, we were over. John McIntyre was the manager, so he was at Galway, and he came up to me. We were after winning the club at Ireland, and I was personally myself, I was absolutely flying it. We were after beating De La Salle, and we were after beating Ballyhale in semi final. So, and next thing he came up to me one day, and he told me I was absolutely flying it. And he says to me, like, what type of training are you doing yourself? And I just told him straight out that all I was doing was wall ball sessions and alley sessions. Like, you know, I wasn't going to the gym. I wasn't going doing any physical running around. I was doing the wall ball. He didn't understand me. Be honest. Didn't understand me. And next thing, one day, didn't we do a wall ball session under Paddy Butler, right? Which was head of coaching at the time. So it was, and he'd done a wall ball session with the team for an hour and 15 minutes. The whole squad, now 30 players, right, in drills. And it was an absolutely top-class training session. We were opening some pitch down in Westmead, memory serves me right. And when the session was over, we were walking back up to the dressing room, and John McIntyre walked over to me, and he goes to me, "You're speaking to the converters." He could not get over the session that we had for an hour and 15 minutes and the amount of balls that we hit. And anyone that's listened to me will all agree that a wall ball session is very enjoyable. It's very hard, it's very intense, but you hit some amount of balls. And always remember, Colin, when you're going down hurling, you want to hit balls.
Yeah.
You want to hit spitters. It's like you going down football training, next thing you're spending 45 minutes by running around cones and doing this stuff, next thing you're only actually kicking football for about 20 minutes.
Asher, stop. In January, you could be told there's no balls tonight, lads. And so you're just demoralised. You feel like getting back into your car and going home. It's a complete disaster.
All the top class trainers, and I'm speaking about top class trainers all around the country that are doing club hurling or football, they will try and incorporate the two of them.
Yeah, you have to do that. And you can do it's not hard to do that either. So like, I mean, I don't know why
it's called cheating, you know. We'll do no running tonight, lads. We'll do all hurling or all kicking football, but sure, the world of running in the drills. It's cheating.
Yeah, no.
That's all the top lads do.
I think so. Right, come here. We'll come back and we'll talk about Cork and Waterford next.
You can't touch this.
A few weeks later, they played Kilkenny below Nolan Park. The same year. They were being hockey. But the camera went in. There was a fella warming up. Jesus, you should see him. Yeah, the fuck. He was massive. Legs, arse, built. But I bust out laughing watching him. There he was, the epitome of what I said. I told you,
homeboy. Can't touch this. Yeah, we want to focus on the Waterford Cork game, Damien, because Waterford, interesting. Obviously, Liam Cahill is their new manager. And they got off to the worst possible start, then came back into it really well and showed a lot of heart and a lot of work rate, and were home and hosed, and then nearly threw it away in the end.
Oh, exactly. It was a very weird game again. Colm, and I was watching the match. Next thing, Cork had two goals. First two scores were two goals. I said, oh God, this is going to be in for a one-sided affair. And then Cork just fell asleep. So it's very, very interesting. Waterford have new management, as we know, you know, and I'm delighted to see that there's a couple of what we call Waterford legends, a part of his backroom team, you know, with Liam Cahill. But I'm disappointed in Cork. I won't lie to you. Cork have some great hurlers, but there's something missing in them. They should be a lot better. You know, like, they went two goals up at the very start of the match. Like, you know, that should have been momentum alone, confidence. Should have been, you know, and next thing all of a sudden they like completely slipped, and I think they went down. It went in a pint down, if not two down.
Yeah. And if that was Kilkenny, there was no way back for Waterford there.
Absolutely not. If that was Kilkenny, if that was Limerick, Galway, I don't think there'd have been a way back. You know, and Tipperary even with two goals up at the start, like Waterford were missing a lot of players as well. A lot of players have been dropped off the squad. A lot of players are newcomers. You know, and I know some of them stuck to the mark now and gave a great performance of an account of themselves, but there's something missing in Cork. I don't know what it is. Unless Cork, I'll say it this way, and I don't want to say anything wrong, but unless Cork get a bit rougher, they're going to go nowhere again this year. That's the best way I can say it, without being blackguarding or, you know, they just need to get tougher and rougher. They need to bring it into their play, and it hasn't been in their play for a long time, and I was disappointed, very disappointed in Cork yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. Waterford, on the other hand, Liam Cahill said after the game, they need to start putting a bit of identity to what they're about as players, as a team, as a squad. I think they started reasonably well today to show a bit of change that everybody's looking for. So what did you make of Waterford and the style of play? Like, one thing that stood out for me, obviously, is they played a lot more orthodox than they have been. Obviously under Derek McGrath, Pádraic Fanning was changing it a bit yesterday. Patrick Curran and Stephen Bennett, they were the real force at under 21 level, and Patrick Curran, for whatever reason, never really made it, but they were very good yesterday, both of them. Desi Hutchinson didn't really get into the game, but I don't think this kind of part of the season might not suit his game all that well. I think he'll do better in the summer.
Well, but they have good hurlers, Waters, you know, and Liam Cahill is going to find them. As you said, they went to orthodox 15-on-15, but the one thing I did know is about them, and I seen it with Liam Cahill, two under 20 All Ireland winning teams. He's big into the stick pass. the 20, 30 yard stick pass to hand, which is a big piece of their play. And like, they found a good few players here yesterday that are willing to step up to the mark. The man was really good, so he was Daly at wing back and got a great point with it, you know. And then you had Kieran Bennett, who got five from playing, I think it was one sideline. So another great player, and I take it he's a brother, so he is of
he is, yeah.
So
he's, he is.
He scored 11 points, and there's another one of them brothers that his name won't come to me.
Shane, yeah, he's not on the panel.
He was corner four, so maybe he might even come back into the reckoning as well. But he's given them a good. He's defined players, Liam Cahill. He just has to find players as well to see. Like, Ozzie Gleeson wasn't playing yesterday. You know, there was a couple of other lads that are injured as well. He needs to, but. Cheat, that was a huge result for Watford. Like, I thought they were going to get hammered at the start of the match. The next thing, they come out with the points in the bag, you know, and all the points count. But Liam Cahill will have them better, I think, at stick hurling, stick passing. Whether Watford will do much this year, I don't think they will. Being honest with you, I just don't think they will, but he will improve them.
The Patrick Curran goal was a lovely goal. It was Callum Lyons was picked out running straight down the middle with a nice stick pass, like what you're talking about. I'm not sure how he passed it then to Patrick Curran. Was it with the hurl? It looked a bit awkward. Maybe he did it fast.
No, I think he passed it with opposite hand. He threw the hurl into the hand, but it was a good hand pass. That lad is fierce fit.
Yeah,
he had to go up and down the pitch. But it was a lovely goal. So it was, but as I said. Patrick Curran was there for a while, you know, and next thing he was kind of out of favour, whether they didn't like him, as in, you know, he didn't get much time there, but he's back in he scored a great point just before half time. She's a long ranger. Jeez, that was a great score as well. But Watford have hurlers, but he needs to find a couple of marquee players that are going to step. Ozzie Gleeson this year, he needs to stand up to be a big leader for them. He's around a long time now, you know. He needs to be a big leader, along with a couple of the Bennetts as well. But would you believe this? You know, like Kieran Bennett, lad, they got the 5 points. He played wing back, you know.
Played wing back against Galway in that All-Ireland final, I'm fairly sure.
He did. Wing back. And they're playing in wing forward now, and he's scoring 6 points.
That's the thing. Like, there could be a role for him, like a Daniel Carney type role for Kieran Bennett. Like, I mean, I didn't realise he had those type of points in his locker at all from the sideline. A big array of scores and a sideline and the whole lot.
That's a good example now, the likes of Daniel Carney. That's exactly maybe the role that he will be given, because when it comes to championships, all the managers kind of like to pack up the middle, you know, especially the middle third. So, he's able to hit ball sides, and he was good to us. And also, I was impressed with their centre forwards for Watford. Is it Prendergast?
Yeah, Jack Prendergast. Yeah, I'm not sure. Prendergast. And young Fagan came into it as well. He scored 2 points.
Yeah. These are all new names to us. Like, and as I said, that's why I thought Cork should have won that game yesterday. But there's just something missing in Cork. I don't know. As I said, unless they start getting a little bit rougher, a little bit crosser, I just don't see where their championship is going this year, you know. But well done to Watford. It was great scores down there, and it was a great win for them.
Yeah, I think Prendergast has been around a couple of years in around midfield. The most impressive newcomer was Irla Daly. He looked outstanding, like a real stocky player for such a young player on his debut. He didn't look out. He has the same build as Philip Mahoney, who's retired. But he looks to have a bit more hurling in him than Philip Mahoney, actually.
Yeah, actually, you're exactly the lad I thought of. He looks just like him. So, you know, on the same build. But he looked very, very comfortable there yesterday. Got a long-range point. And you have to remember, with a long-range point like that, he had the confidence to go for it.
Yeah.
So he had good abs. He's definitely a find. He's definitely going to make the championship team. Like, they're going to stick with him now for definite. And he'll be playing all the league games to get momentum, get confidence into his game. So he's definitely been a find.
Definitely a find. And he's a left-hander, if I'm not mistaken, playing left half-back. And he goes to let on, he's going to drive it down the wing, and he taps it on the hurl and brings it back infield. He did that a few times. I thought I was impressed. Again, this is his debut. He just didn't look out of place at all.
Yeah, no. He's right-hand on top. So he's not a left-hander. He's the right-hand on top.
But okay.
As I said, he's a good striker of a ball. So he's... And the saying is, he's all there. He won't be pushed off the ball too easily. And you could see it, even the arms on him. He's a good bit of physical conditioning done. So he's there now. It's like, and if he can stamp his name on that position, he's there for a few years.
Yeah, exactly. The poor, the one thing for Waterford, it was very poor defending for all three goals. So they were in disarray for the first two early goals. They had enough men back. It's not like they were down numbers or exposed. They just kind of were kind of, I don't know, fresh airs at balls, and they were scrappy kind of goals. And then I thought Shane Fives defending for Shane Kingston's second goal, that was dreadful. He's goal side of Kingston there. There should have been no goal on when Kingston got that ball in his hand.
Yeah, the like Liam Cal wouldn't be happy with any of the three goals.
Yeah,
first goal was real scrappy. So it was the second goal was real scrappy again. Kingston whipped it to the net, and then the third goal, Kingston, which you'd be disappointed, the leaked goal at the very, very end, right? But like he got around him very easily, and he got away from him very easily, and got his shot in. Where all the top class cornerbacks, you'd like to say that they would stick with their man, and even if he swung to hit it, they get a hook in. Liam Cahill won't be happy with the defending and lacking three goals. But so he knows coming away from that game after winning, getting 3 points on the board, that he needs to improve his full back line, which they did. They tried to improve it there during the first half, but there's room for improvement definitely in the full back line area with tightening up and just doing better defending.
Yeah, it was Shane Fives came on for Conor Gleeson, who's known as one of their best, as probably their best man marker. He was pulled off after 30 minutes. So Cahill doesn't hang around when he wants to take someone off. I think Gleeson started on Patrick Horgan and then moved onto Kingston and got an awful roasting off Kingston. Is Kingston the most frustrating player you've ever seen in that he scored 2-2? He should be man of the match, but he missed so many chances then that you're kind of like, oh geez, even the equalising point, he should be getting that.
Yeah, he went out of favour as well last year. He's young now, to be fair to him.
We can't keep saying he's... I think he's around 4 or 5 years now.
Jeez, I thought he was only around 21 or 22. But, yeah, no, but he should be scoring them. You were speaking about inter-county level. So the answer is, yeah, he should be scoring them. It was a poor miss, I suppose, at the very last strike of the game. He's fatter than the manager, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I'm sure they had an interesting chat there last night when they're having a cup of tea before they went to bed or whatever. He's frustrating in the sense that he can turn it on for 35 minutes and go out of the game for another 35 like this. But
yeah,
he needs to improve. But geez, there's a lot of them that need to improve in that Cork set of. I was disappointed. He still finished up with a 2-2 or that. But there's other players that hardly fared out yesterday. But look, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was his first day. Hopefully, he'll get him scores. In the championship, he'll be a lot sharper. But the Cork boys need to improve.
Yeah, maybe he's only.
Just going back to Liam Cahill.
Go on.
Just going back to Liam Cahill. You said that Liam Cahill, he doesn't hang around. Liam Cahill is putting his name on the block there. Like, the bigger picture, I would think, for Liam Cahill is that he would like to become the Tipperary manager when Liam Sheedy walks away. So, like, he's gone down there now to Water. Number one, to improve Water, but also to improve himself, and to get extra managerial experience into his game. So, like, he's going down there to do a job and to have people talk about him. It's all grand winning minors and under-20s, but sometimes they mightn't be recognised. So he's going down there, and the bigger picture, I would think, for Liam Cahill is the Tipperary job. When that comes, whether it's 2 or 3 years' time, he'll want to be throwing his CV onto a table and going, I want an interview.
Yeah.
So he's down there going to give it everything.
No, definitely. You mentioned Cork, how to flatter to deceive, and they're not a league team anyway. We know that. It's 17 wides. And to get a 2-goal head start and still be beaten, it's hard to know what to think of them. Now, we don't want to be too hard on them. They won back-to-back Munsters 2 years ago. Last year did a very bad year. So you're hoping Kieran Kingston's coming back in to replicate the form, that they showed in his first year. Sure, Limerick were steeped against them, had that comeback. That was only 2 years ago in Croke Park, and Limerick won the All-Ireland. So, I think we can be too hard on Cork sometimes. They definitely fell off their standard last year. Whether they can get that back.
They still did a good team out yesterday, Colm.
They had a very strong team
I reckon yesterday, watching the match, they had five of the 6 forwards playing for their championship. Alan Cadigan missing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, your man was centre forward, Mark Coleman, which I reckon will go back out to midfield. They technically had, Bill Cooper was midfield, You know, they had a lot of their... I tell you, they had 12 of their first 15 out there yesterday.
I would agree.
Five of their starting six forwards. And, like, I know you're saying we can't be too critical, but, like, this is the team that won two Munster championships, you know, in the last, was it, 3 or 4 years. They're all brilliant hurlers, all lovely technical, lovely skillful hurlers, everything. But they need to get a little bit of boldness or a bit of manliness or aggression into their game, because it's yesterday they had a way better team than Waterford out, and they just faltered. I'm only just speaking honestly, Colm. I was disappointed in them. You know, I just really disappointed them, and it's sad saying that we can't be too hard on them, but they should be doing better. They have great hurlers.
Yeah. Kieran Kingston was focusing on...
They have great forwards. He's just some lovely forwards. You know, they have forwards that can score. You know, maybe they need to tighten up maybe at the back, but, and they will improve, fair enough, but these are great forwards. They should be doing better, like, you know.
Yeah, maybe they seem to be more of a summer team anyways. We're going to give performance of the weekend to Irla Daly. I thought he was outstanding. There's always a young player on their debut that stands out and you think he'll be around for a good few years, and he's definitely one of them. He catch your eye, well able to handle himself, and there's a senior intercounty hurler in him for many years to come, I'd imagine, with Irla Daly. So, like, I mean, he was very impressive, so he's getting performance of the weekend. We're not going to do another section on performance of the weekend because we talked too much about handball alleys in part one, Damien, so we've run out of time, so there we go.
Sorry about that, lad. Handball alleys and ball balls and Gable into the house. But if there's anyone out there that are listening to the podcast, if you're doing training sessions, whatever, put your team through a half an hour ball wall session at pace, and I tell you one thing, they'll be fairly tired and the lads will improve their hurling. And I was always big into it. That's just me. I used to love doing it.
Yeah. Jeez, you're so enthusiastic about it, Damien. I could talk to you about wall balls all day. We might finish up this show and I'll give you a ring and we'll have a chat about it in private.
I don't have any more time. I have to go.
All right. Talk to you, Damien. Thanks very much.
All right. Good luck.
All right, that's all we've time for. We'll be back on Thursday and we will preview next weekend's games. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. So I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, cause I won't see you later.